This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Going Global. I'm Tasha Fussell. In 2011, Pierre Tammy founded Shift 360, which is a company that's based in Cambodia that's focused on finding creative ways to provide skills, training, and job opportunities to youth who come from vulnerable and low socioeconomic populations in the Southeast Asian region. So we're speaking to Pierre today to learn more about the paradigm shift that he's creating to build the kind of human capital that can transform economies and societies. Pierre, you've had a long history with social entrepreneurship, over two decades worth of experience. What first happened all those years ago that compelled you to action?
Well, I came to Cambodia with my wife and my children, very small, in the early 90s, just before the first democratic election in Cambodia. So Cambodia, of course, was back then trying to turn the corner from war, political upheavals and instability. So basically, we have encountered a high degree of suffering, primarily among women and children. So we basically took a look and see what we could possibly do and contribute, you know, to this country that wanted to rebuild itself. And so we looked at the large amount of mothers with their children who were roaming the streets. And we did more of an investigation, a study. I did 1 year of language. And we basically started off with Hager, that basically was supposed to aim at rehabilitating street mothers with their children, reintegrating them into society. That was as simple as a first idea and thought that we started off with.
At that point, was there any kind of vision to marry business ideas, business concepts or solutions with this social cause that you were pursuing?
No, actually not, because most, if I can say my history in these 26 years, a lot of actions basically were undertaken after basically seeing the development of what we were doing and encountering the issues. Therefore, when we saw that we had in this shelter a large number of mothers and their children and they needed a job, and back then there was not much of an economy, I came up with the idea, well, if there is no business, we create one. And then we started to try out a number of small businesses, from simple shampoo making to simple sewing to and then into food. So these seeds, these small ideas were kind of basically tried out, and we chose those that looked like had the potential to survive as a business and allow sustainability and, of course, long-term rehabilitation for these women and girls with a living wage. That's how it started. And then through the years, of course, the social aspects of Cambodia changed. From street mothers and children, we started to encounter a large number of girls that were trafficked and abused, victim of domestic violence, victim of acid attack. So we have changed the types of social response and also adapted to our commercial ventures.
You know, when you were working so closely to communities and people who have been abused and treated in, you know, such inhumane ways, how did you remain hopeful? How did you keep yourself intact and focused on what you had to do?
Yes, this specific, I guess, social intervention, particularly with this group of people, of course, is very tough. It's extremely challenging to these days, and I know that many people in the world share the same journey. It's a lonely one. It's a very sad one. You know, it's like working in intensive care unit in a hospital. You know,
right.
you get to see the most tragic part, right? Unless you have a passion and compassion and a tenacity in your dedication, you're likely to give up quite soon because of the overwhelming tragedy, human despair, because you encounter people that, even though they may be saved from a brothel, they may be saved from a sale and then further abuse, some of these survivors are suicidal. And so you encounter this all along, you know, this environment of a very depressed and extremely tragic, and therefore it's a very tough field to work. And also, as you know, there is no immediate solution. I mean, Hagar is still going on right now. We expanded to Vietnam. We expanded even to Afghanistan, where you can imagine things are even worse there. So nonetheless, we retain the commitment of compassion and commitment and passion and dedication to this type of vulnerable groups.
I mean, it's such a complex an ongoing lifelong commitment that you're making.
Well, yes, indeed. Those particular start, you know, they have to have this kind of overvision. I believe myself, I am not a psychologist. I'm not a social person. Actually, I come from civil aviation. So my background is quite different. But nonetheless, I believe as a visionary leader to continue keeping in my heart, open and close to these kind of communities. And I actually changed through the years, 5 years ago, to come out, or rather to be released from the operation of Hagar and started a brand new initiative, and now aiming at the youth. The youth in the region now becoming also a huge, large problem with lack of skills and lack of jobs. And I saw basically they would potentially become victims of forced migration to search for jobs, which then they fall into again into possible abuse and so forth. So I keep myself close to these kind of issues and then come up with new visions and new ideas. So it's very important to stay close to the people and know exactly what is going on in order to propose relevant solutions to social problems.
So yeah, you mentioned you recently, so in 2011 you resigned from Hagar. Started Shift 360.
Yes.
Was the idea to focus on an approach that was going to be more preventative?
Well, yeah, I thought that I could take Hagar until a certain level myself. I'm more of a visionary, entrepreneurial person. So once the Hagar was up and running, becoming fairly large, we had 8 representation offices around the world. We had 3 operational countries, a large budget, large amount of people. I felt it was time to hand it over to professional management and allow the board help me, to basically exit and move into new fields that were right there ready for new types of intervention. And as you know, the youth in our region being more than 50% of a population and 380,000 young people land the job market every year, and they have no much of possibilities for jobs and particularly for skills and education. So I use what I learned through Hagar and applied to this particular group and hoping that we would reduce the possibility of violence, exploitation, abuse, if we can bring these people straight from school into jobs. So I use the same principle of social enterprise.
And when you say that, does that mean creating the same kind of job opportunities, making the same kind of investments in businesses that allow job opportunities for these at-risk groups?
Yes, exactly. So basically what I learned through my 15, 17 years with Hagar, I saw that if we have an intervention on a social side through an NGO where you prepare people to be in Hagar, we always talked about building a coping mechanism, through social rehabilitation where you have therapy, psychologists at work to prepare these people for after shelter, to be reintegrated into society. And then for instance, a very successful business, the Hagar Catering, that I started in 97 during wartime, and today is the largest catering company in Cambodia, doing 5.5 million meals a year, employing around 360 workers. 40% of these workers come from the Hagar types of background. So we were encouraged. We did another business that we bought in from Laos, and so now this coffee and bakery chain existing in Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia. So basically I apply the same through Shift 360 by targeting young people that A, could be jobless, or B, don't have money to support themselves to go to university. So by offering a job to them, they can study, they can support themselves so they can go to university and study. And then, of course, we have about 10% in our current business where we take vulnerable groups.
Right. I'm with Pierre Tami, who is the founder of Cambodian-based Shift 360, a company that's working to help regain dignity for the abused, vulnerable and jobless through social empowerment by providing job opportunities and skills development. We'll look at some of the unique challenges that comes with that when we come back. This is Going Global, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Going Global. Good morning, I'm Tasha Fusil, and I'm joined by Pierre Tami, who is the founder of Shift 360, a social enterprise in Cambodia that is finding ways to create employment for youth without skills and jobs who could be vulnerable to possible exploitation, trafficking, low-level employment, or poor pay. Now, it's a noble but highly complex endeavor. So, Pierre, what do you have to do to mitigate some of the issues that come with running a business that employs marginalized groups?
Yes, and this actually is a very interesting and it can be actually lengthy because, you know, we try to explain, or I try to explain it, you know, in a few minutes, but it's very complex because as soon as you, first of all, Hagar or even now, and now it shifts, the business that we launch are fully commercial, for profit, where we pay tax, we have corporate governance, we have a board. Some of the challenges we encounter when we start to think in terms of proposing what we call a bankable project, a bankable business, is the fact that you need to make money sustainable, and also in order to guarantee that the workers, you know, will have a job for life. So that becomes complicated because you start to compete with others in the arena of the business market today. You you have to compete, you have to be attractive, you have to be basically producing or delivering a service that the market can, you know, can buy. And that becomes complicated. So one thing is you cannot run a social enterprise just with your, what we call clients, with your own beneficiaries. You have to mix. Of course, we have chosen a philosophy that we don't market our business as, you know, please buy our food, or please buy our service, please buy our product because we employ, former trafficked people. No, that's not good. And also, I would attract the wrong people to our place, and also would devoid the dignity that we're trying to build in the lives of these people. So we want to be, if we run a catering, we want to be the best catering that supplies food for your factory is a good price and it's nutritious. If we are in a coffee business or we have a food court, copy from the Malaysian model. I came out to Malaysia to see your food court.
Oh, really?
And with a partner, we're running a large food court that has 12 kitchens and employ about 160 people. So we want people to come there to buy and eat and enjoy. And that's it. We don't want them to know, you know, the background. So that's tough and challenging because you have to compete in the market, and therefore you have to have in your labor, in your force, and in your management people that are competent and are good and are stable. So then you can bring in the people that you want. So one thing we do is not to fill up your social enterprise just with beneficiaries. You will not work on a long term, I believe, in my case.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to make, I mean, great sense because, you know, as you said, you might attract the wrong kind of people or, it's the wrong kind of message, or you're just employing people based on their sort of their emotion rather than the products or the services that could actually be of benefit to them.
Yes.
Okay.
And when I speak like this, please be aware that this is my own lessons, my own practice, my own philosophy. No way I want to say this is the right way. Do it, and whatever people don't do it, the way are wrong. This is not what I'm saying. I'm just only talking about my own personal experience.
One of the projects that Shift 360 are working on is a skills college in Phnom Penh called the Academy.
This is a fantastic project. This is very exciting. Very exciting because after seeing in the market, you know, that there is so much food, there is so much business going on in the food and beverage, and seeing the huge, large tourism, which contributes to the economy in as a second column of the economy in Cambodia, I realized there isn't much of high-quality skills training. So as a social entrepreneur, rather than doing a business or rather than doing an NGO, I decided to open a new way, a new approach, which is a public-private partnership to try to convince the government to come to the table together with the private sector and together try to solve a national issue, because to this day there is no high-end or world-class hospitality school in Cambodia. Mm. And so we are launching the Academy of Culinary Arts, which is a Swiss-certified cooking school, and it's being structured as a PPP, which is the first year in Cambodia. So it's very innovative, it's an innovation it's a brand new approach, and we try to make it work like that. So it's a fantastic project where all young people, regardless of their background, can actually attend this national institute and have a world-class education and being certified with a national diploma as well as a certified Swiss diploma, which allow them to get a much better paying job both in Cambodia or overseas. So we are very excited about this project. It's fantastic. So it fits into our current businesses because we keep launching restaurants. We have an Italian restaurant with a partner. We have the food court with another partner. I distribute Swiss coffee with another partner. So as we employ more and more people, we see the huge, big lack of skills in this particular field.
So you said you mentioned that this academy is open to anyone. So in terms of affordability, how does that work? Is it free? Is it a free service?
Okay, so when we approach this subject, okay, when you have to go to the drawing table and see more the nation rather than a specific vulnerable group, we're talking about putting into place an infrastructure. Mm. Think about a village. Think about a town in the province. You know, if they need a road, you cannot build a road just for the poor and the others cannot use the road. If they need water, electricity, you cannot build water, electricity for just the poorest. So I get the idea that we need to put a structure, an infrastructure, a national, that everyone can come, that everyone is offered a high education. And then for the low-income people, for people that cannot afford, then we create scholarships. And that's the best place, we believe, to solve the problem rather than sending people and learn for free. Mm.
And then how do you attract investment from the private sector?
Okay, that's another good challenge. We've been very blessed to have two big, large entities, institutions, one from the United Nations, from the EIF fund from Geneva, is a WTO fund. Together with CEDA, the development agency of the government of Sweden, that basically together with SHIFT and invested heavily with seed money to launch this project. And then we expect that through fees and the participation of the private sector, seeing the results, seeing the benefits, they will start to invest into the academy and make it sustainable on a long term.
You know, if you were to give advice to other social entrepreneurs out there on what it takes to secure that kind of capital, what sort of advice would you give?
I guess, first of all, we have to be convinced. Mm. You have to be fully convinced and in a way ready to die, you know, on any project you launch. You got to be fully passionate, fully convinced that this is the right offer, the right project. And number two, present it in a way that, of course, people, investors are able to hear you. So in this case, sometimes the private sector has difficulties in talking to those who come from the social side because sometimes the issue of language, the issue of you know, we're coming from two different worlds, so we need to adapt ourselves to know what do these kind of people want to hear, what their worldview, what do they want from us, because sometimes we get rejected just because we don't talk about corporate governance, we don't talk about a full business plan, we don't talk about the commercial discipline that they want to hear, because no shareholders would ever or contributor want to put their money in the hands of someone who talks nice, is a nice guy, do a good work, but sometimes that is not enough. Mm. And so we need to be more disciplined to attract these people by talking their language. And that requires some special, learning from our side to be able to come to the table and meet with these people. And as you know, you meet 10, 20, 100, and maybe only one and two will want to come to the table and talk to us. So we must never give up and we must not allow discouragement, you know, to affect us because the reality, it is tough. This is not easy.
Very inspiring indeed. Thank you so much, Pierre, for your time. And it was lovely, lovely chance to get to speak to you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. I hope to come back to KL. I was in KL at the World Economic Forum in early June, and I talked to some high-profile business people there with whom I'm talking to them and trying to invite them into our project. So the day I'm successful, I will let you know. But we really appreciate here in Cambodia, Malaysian business people, Malaysian community to evolve here in Cambodia, because the relationship has been going there here very fantastic way, and we believe that there is a lot more that Malaysia and Cambodia can do together. So thank you very much for allowing me to share on your Malaysian Waves.
Pierre Tammy, founder of Shift 360 in Cambodia, speaking to us about the business of economic empowerment for at-risk and socially marginalized groups. This has been Going Global, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.